Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Northwest Baptist Church. We hope you hear from God in this week's message.
All right, welcome church. Thank you for coming this morning, for all who came in attendance and all of you tuning online. My name is Deacon Justin Seeger. I will be giving you and walking us through what the Lord has actually given through either Pastor Chris or his word today. If you're here this last month, the last message, the series of messages that Pastor Chris has been talking to us in July has been titled, What God is Worthy Of. So I want to kind of go back and recap what God is worthy of. He read from Psalm 66, an example of what our worship should look like to the God who created us. He was worthy of our glorious praise. He is worthy of our submission. He is worthy of noticing and marveling at him working among humanity. He is worthy of our physical acts of worship. And he is worthy of us keeping our word and our commitments to him. Now, because of all things, but not definitely just limited to these, we must praise him. We must tell others of what he's done in our lives, and we will eventually, sooner or later, cry out to him. If you'd been here last week, you'd have noticed that things were a little different. It wasn't a normal service, was it? It was an open, transparent dialogue between Pastor Chris and us in attendance. It's not something that we're usually used to as a church service. Even though we weren't used to it, that doesn't mean it wasn't still filled with the word and filled with the Holy Spirit, even when your message, the message that he had, may have been a little disappointing or disheartening. Don't be dismayed, church. God knows us and he sees us, and nothing escapes him. I don't know if you realize that even though last week was real and raw and unconventional, that we had still people that wanted to sign up to be baptized, that even though it was raw and real, that we had people still wanting to become members of this church. That tells me that God is working in and through and for us as a church and the body of Christ. Jesus tells Peter in Matthew 16, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God keeps working through his congregation, adding to it, despite what's going on. God keeps his promises. And the fact that we're sending a missions team to Jamaica in the middle of all this, it's crazy. It's not anything that I could have made up. And this was probably the point that hit me the most. If you know Becky, you know her heart for missions. You know how she loves to serve without giving of herself, giving of her time. If you know our family, we're about to be in a rough patch. Definitely timing was not perfect. And of course, with the inflation and the price of everything rising up, we took some financial hits. And I have to admit to you that I was struggling with this. This is an area that the Lord was stretching our family in. I prayed, Lord, I can't do any of this without you. I can't do any of this monetarily, physically, spiritually without you. And even as I prayed that, I had to say, I submit. If those aren't the two hardest words a dad or a father or a worker or a mother has to say, those are two hard words. Mom, tell you what, in less than a month, her trip was paid for. The physical needs of my family are taken care of because I can't take 11 days off of work. My family will be looked after while I'm at work. God provides physically, spiritually, monetarily, everything provided for because God hears our prayers. Last week, Pastor Chris laid out, and he talked about it this morning, about the first Sunday of every month, how we're going to be doing a day of prayer and fasting. as a corporate body. I think this is long overdue. I think that we should have been doing this day in, day out, morning, noon, and night. Of course, you know, we got to provide for our family, so it's not that possible, but you'll hear later on that we're to pray at all times. I'm not going to go, we're going to stick to this right now, but you might have noticed that we've been including prayer in the last Sunday of every service and the fifth Sunday. It's just another step in being unified. And did you know that Jesus prayed this for us? In John 17, 20 through 23, before he gave the sacrifice, before he walked up to that tree, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for future believers. In verses 20 through 23, I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you loved me. Because we're coming into this season of prayer, I think it would be diligent to review what prayer is. When Pastor Chris asked if I wanted to preach, I had no idea what I was going to preach. So I was praying. I said, Lord, please lay upon my heart through your word, through your servants, through other people if need be, what you'd have me to preach. And God, here's our prayers. Pastor Chris texted me the following day and said, hey, Jay, why don't you talk about prayer? Again, God answers prayer. Think of this morning as a spiritual boot camp, because if you haven't noticed, I think we're in a part of spiritual warfare, all right? That's why I've titled today's message, The Principles of Prayer. We get down to prayer. Prayer, by the Oxford definition, is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks to God. Again, that's the Oxford definition. It definitely didn't have God in there, but God is worthy of that definition. So prayer, according to that, is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks to God. It's a deliberate communication with the creator of the universe and the creator of you and me. So if you have your Bibles, let's open up to the main text. Please turn with me to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And I'm going to read 10 through 20, but we'll be mostly focusing on verses 18 through 20. Again, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. It's going to be really hard for me not to preach through all of the spiritual weapons that has given to us. So that's why I'm going to focus on the last three verses on prayer. But context is really important, especially given our circumstances and the fact that I think these verses pertain to us as a church and our local body. So let's read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pay special attention to these verses, because this is where we're going to be. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your word, which you have given and which is applicable to every part of our lives. It's used for all correction and all reproof and all circumstances, Lord. I pray that you would speak through your word today. I pray that you would increase, Holy Spirit, speak to those who are listening. And I ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. If y'all have seen the movie Patriot, you notice that Mel Gibson's character at the beginning is a veteran of the French and Indian War. He is a sole father. He has no wife to help him. He has 7 kids. That's 3 more than I have. I couldn't imagine doing it alone, but Becky's going to remind me how hard it is when she leaves this weekend. So he's a veteran. He leads a peaceful life, tending his field, tending his family, and his oldest son decides to join the military because after the French and Indian War, it was the American Revolution. So he told his dad, hey, I'm going to go join the army. Dad says, okay, I'm not all about it. I'm about living peacefully. I'll bless off on it. So he goes, his oldest son goes, and time passes. His son comes back with the British fresh on his tail. So son comes back to dad. Dad, they're right behind me. They're coming. He said, I'm staying with the kids. I'm staying in the house. You do what you need to do, but they're not coming in here. Then the British come. And his son's in his house. Father's away. They take his son. They take his oldest son. And they burn down his house. Okay. The father takes the son and the other children, and he goes up to his room in a chest full of armor and weaponry to prepare for what's coming. He gives his 2 young boys shotguns and rifles and say, if you see red, shoot it. This turns a father who had seen war, who has completed his tour, just want to live a peaceful life, doesn't want anything to do with the military, and here comes this war coming to him. This is an illustration of the spiritual battle that has come to us, Northwest. And we must be prepared. Just so you don't think I'm biased and I, you know, go to military stories and military backgrounds, I was reading a commentary on this passage by Warren Wiersbe, and he says that Paul should use the military to illustrate the believer's conflict with Satan is reasonable. He himself was chained to a Roman soldier in and out of jail, and his readers were certainly familiar with soldiers and the equipment they used. In fact, military illustrations were favorites with Paul. So besides being the word, I knew there was another reason why I resonated with Paul's writings, and more specifically in Ephesians. Generally speaking, in the first 9 verses, Paul is describing the enemy and the equipment needed to fight against the schemes of the devil. Like I said, these verses can be an entire month, probably a year. I've only got 35 minutes. So we're going to focus the majority of our time on verses 18 through 20. In these, we find where the energy to fight this battle comes from. In order for us to put on this equipment and endure these attacks, it comes through prayer. And they all include, and the verses that we go through, they're going to include 4 all statements in verse 18, which Paul spells out exactly what to do with this energy. Very helpful. Let's start going over them one by one. The first one is right at the beginning, probably the one that may confuse or stress us out the most. In verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit. At all times. It doesn't say some of the time. It doesn't say most of the time or only when it's convenient for you. It says pray at all times. I struggle with this myself. How am I going to pray when I'm driving down the road? How am I going to close my eyes and say, Jesus, take the wheel? I can't do it. All right. This isn't what he's saying here. This is a constant communication, a constant communion with God. Everything that we see, everything that we go throughout the day should be a message to the Lord, to the Creator, not just to close your eyes, say your prayer, and be done with it. It's an open communication. Every moment that we have is an opportunity to shift our perspective from the material to the eternal. It's also a discernible mark of a true Christian. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, also pray without ceasing. Daniel prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night, with an open door, and he didn't care who was looking in, he prayed. David said, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Jesus prayed through the night in the midst of sleeping disciples. Prayer is like oxygen, family. You cannot live without it. Now the second part of that first all, it's in the spirit. What does that mean? This isn't speaking in tongues. This is not, you can't add this to the text. That means it's a call to pray in the will and the power of the Holy Spirit, just as we would pray in the name of Jesus Christ to God, our Heavenly Father. Jude 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's praying in consistency with who he is and what his will is. Learn to pray in concert with the Spirit. If you want to turn to Romans 8:26, and probably one of the most rich books that Paul has written to believers and how we are to conduct ourselves because we are, he gives us a little help of what the Spirit does for us. Romans 8:26. And I'm going to read a couple after it too. It says that we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So he's saying, even when you're praying, even when you may not have the most specific words to pray, the Spirit is working in and through you to give glory to our Creator. He always has the right prayer. He always gets the right answer. And for that, in verse 28, it says, it works for our good. The second all is following that, all prayer and supplication. The words here have to do with request, and what types of prayer. There are many types of prayer in the Bible. Prayers of deliverance, for protection, for provision, for intercession, for defeat of enemies, for destruction, for help, and so on and so forth. The word for prayer in all prayer, here is a general request. The word supplication here in the Greek is a specific request. For example, generally speaking, I pray for my family that they would all have a relationship with God. And more specifically, I would pray for my brother or my mother's father to become and have that relationship as well. And other prayers, 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, which is us praying for other people, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And Jesus tells the disciples in John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So God hears specifically, and he answers specifically, I can give him specific praise. And that rolls us into the third all. Keep alert with all perseverance. Stick with it. Stay at it. Continue on it. Keep alert. Keep watch. If you search the Bible, you'll find many times where the words watch and pray are used together. In Nehemiah 4:9, this is probably the most tangible physical way that keep watch and pray is used. In 4:9, it says, to our God, we pray to our God and set a guard or a watch as a protection against them day and night. I encourage you, if you have time in your own study, go back and read Nehemiah. Read why he prayed. Read his answers to prayer. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation in the garden." If you're always alert and always praying, there's less room for the enemy to conduct a sneak attack or an ambush. 1 Peter 4:7, watch unto prayer. Peter would know. He fell asleep. What happened in the garden when Jesus said, watch and pray, and that you may not enter temptation? It's like one of the first things after Peter woke up, he chopped off some dude's ear. All right? Just to have Jesus put it back on and rebuke him. He went on to deny him not once, but three times. 1 Peter 4:7 seems to me like he learned his lesson. There's also a story of Peter in Acts 12 where he's chained and he's in prison, one of the many times. I think prayer had something to do with this. If you go back and read, you'll notice that an angel guides Peter out of jail, mysteriously, miraculously, doing what we could never do. When he goes and reports this to the believers are actively engaged in prayer. We can't assume, or who might not know, or we might not know what happened to Peter if they hadn't gathered together and prayed. Don't quit praying. Let's dive a little bit more into this all, where it says keep alert. That involves keeping watch outward, looking at others, not looking at inward. We know what's going on within ourselves. We all know that what we need to pray for. But do you know what is going on with others around you? Do you know what's going on with the other members who are sitting in the pews beside you or around you? Do you know what's happening in the lives of those in your community? Seeing their needs? I think there's a big thing that keeps us from doing this. And I'm going to admit it to you, I'm probably the worst at it. Selfishness. I'll give you an example. When do we usually get serious about prayer? When crisis hits, when disaster strikes, when something troublesome happens in our lives. I'm guilty of this. I'm 10 times more likely to start praying for what affects me over what affects others and praying for the needs of others. Can we even start to say what Paul says in Acts 20, that I prayed for you night and day with tears? I can honestly say I maybe have stayed up an hour at night praying over situations. Strive to be what Paul does. And that leads us into our final all. Who are we to pray for? It says in the end of verse 18, all the saints. This one hits close to home because it's probably the lesson that I've learned the most this year. A few members here at church have come up to me and specifically said, I've been praying for you. They've listed certain circumstances and specific things that sparks their memory of me and my family. And all I had to say to them was, thank you. That's the wrong answer. I followed that up with, how can I pray for you? So they gave me some specific things. I gave them specific things to pray for me and my family. And what do you know? The Lord hears us. I followed up with them a couple weeks later about some of the specific things, and there's answers to prayer. If they had not reached out to me, and if the Holy Spirit hadn't reached and into my heart and said, how can I pray for you? Who knows what may have happened? But all I know is that I prayed and he heard and he answered. If I'm praying for others and they're praying for me, we're all covered. If you pray for others, they're praying for you, we're all covered. 1 Samuel 12:23, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. The Lord's Prayer begins with "Our Father," not "My Father." We are doing this collectively. As a family, we are not in this fight, in this battle, alone. And as if on cue, Paul gives us a specific example of what we can pray about, verses 19 through 20. "And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." This is so rich and a little convicting too. Notice here, Paul doesn't say, "Oh, pray for me, they're giving me bad food. I'm kind of sick. This chain's rubbing me raw. You know, they're not paying attention to my needs." No, the physical needs isn't what he asked to be prayed for. It's praying for his warfare while he's in jail. It's praying for boldness in proclaiming the gospel. I'm not saying here that praying for physical needs isn't bad, because it's not, but it leads back to the perspective. If I'm focused on heavenly things, if I'm focused on eternal things, if I'm focused on the other's needs, then they turn into eternal requests. Praying for wisdom and strength to boldly proclaim the gospel. Praying for others and their needs. Praying for the Spirit to work in and through us in recalling what we have learned. Praying for the word to be near us, in our mouth, in our heart, as Paul says in Romans 10. This is the way the body grows. This is a pathway to unity. This is the way the message of salvation goes out to all who believe. And I'm going to follow up with Paul and encourage you to pray for our pastor. Pray for Pastor Chris and his family. As a pastor, he's on the front lines daily, and I can tell you from a military perspective, from a law enforcement perspective, if you're on the front lines daily and you are constantly engaged with the enemy, supplies run out quick. If you don't have an open, secure supply route that gets you what you need for the battle, the guy in the front line falls, everybody behind him is open to attack and will fall. So pray for our pastor. You might say, "Well, I don't know what to pray for," where we're going to be able to get to know one another, and you're going to do that in the next few months. But that's why Paul follows up with verses 21 and 22, "so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Paul sent this letter with Tychicus to the Ephesians, who is mentioned multiple times in the New Testament. He was his brother, who worked alongside him, encouraged him, and knew his struggles. Listen, church, we're going to pray. Let's pray for spiritual things. But we can't do that if we don't know one another. Let's open up the lines of communication and be vulnerable with one another. It's hard. None of us wants to break down those walls that we built, but we have to share in the struggle and share in the battle and share in the victory. So we're to pray at all times with all prayers and supplications and all perseverance and for all the saints. Let me leave you with this last word of encouragement, because if you haven't felt the attack, if you haven't felt the battle yet, you will, especially when we're praying. Especially when things are going to start going contrary to what you think you need or what you think you might want. Get accountable with someone. We're in this together. Don't get discouraged. And turn with me to Exodus 2, 23 through 25. If you might think that this is just a solid message from Paul through the New Testament, I'm going to bring us back to the Old Testament. So Ephesians 2, 23 through 25. And in my Bible it said, "God hears Israel's groaning. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help." I'm going to stop right there. We get in a habit of thinking that in Genesis and Exodus, that it's good guys versus bad guys. that it's Israel versus Egypt or Israel versus its enemy. Let me tell you what, Israel wasn't good. They were enslaved. And guess why they were slaves? Because they disobeyed God's commandments. All right. So during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. So, church, God hears. God sees you. God sees us. God keeps his promises, and he knows us. He knows what we're going through. He sees what we're going through, and he hears our cries for help. We're going to have an opportunity to pray this morning. I have a few things to go over this before we do. If you're here today, if you're watching online, you're doing so for a reason. God brought this to you for a reason. If that reason is because you don't have a relationship with him, first of all, welcome. I'm glad you're here. When we take time to pray corporately together, I want you to do this. If you're saying inside, I don't know where to begin, and you don't have that relationship, pray to God. Just talk to him. Talk to the Creator. Talk to him about what you're going through. Talk to him about your struggles. Groan, complain. It doesn't matter because he hears. Ask him for help. Ask him to save you from whatever you're going through, because he'll hear you and he'll answer you. And he desires for all to know him, that none should perish, but all come to eternal life.
Thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to have you come worship with us in person at 300 Westminster Road, Reisterstown, Maryland, 21136. Also, be sure to check out our church's website at nwbcmd.org to find out what else we're doing and how to get plugged in.